so thankful that it's not just heaven, but it's my home. And you know, I've thought about this a few times during the last couple of weeks, but I've thought how amazing it is how I've not been to that place that we call heaven, but yet every now and then I get homesick for it, and I dwell for it, I want it, and I'm so thankful to God that I am just a pilgrim and a foreigner down here. How I'm just like Abraham, and I'm just looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I'm so thankful for that great promise that God has given unto us who have been saved by His grace, that though this world is getting worse and worse in sin, and the love of many is waxing cold, need not fret, my friends, because this isn't home. We're not home just yet. We might still have a few more miles to walk till we get there, but a home is waiting for us. And until then, let's labor for our Lord. I'm so glad this morning I'm so glad for my home one day. And not only that, but if you're lost and separated from God, I want you to go with me. I not only just think that, but I believe God loved us so much that He gave us the precious gift of His only begotten Son, that you too can be able to call heaven home one day. How great is that? How great is that? This mercy, this gift, it's extended out for not just the people within the walls of this church building, but it's extended out to everybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, black, white, yellow. It's extended out to everybody that they too can call on God, Abba, Father. I'm so thankful for that. I'll try to hush this morning, but oh, it's so good. That precious gift and that promise. I believe there's another song that says, I'm standing on the promises of God. And folks, I tell you this, if you're standing on the promise of God, you have no need to worry because God keeps His promises. Not like man, how we make promises and then a few weeks later we let somebody down. God keeps them. And if you're standing firm on the promise of God, oh, then folks, you have no need to worry. Anyways, I'll try to hush this morning. Does anybody have anything on their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done? A praise, a prayer request, or anything that they just feel like it needs to be said or done this morning?
Getting smaller and smaller. Amen.
When life's over, it's not the end. It's just the beginning.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people want to think that this world is everything, but it's not. This world determines our forever.
That's right. Amen.
God, no worries, no cares, no illnesses, no hurts, no pains.
Yeah.
And we can just rejoice forevermore.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for that today. I'm so thankful that I can call upon my Lord. Just remember our family in your prayers.
God bless. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. Certainly thankful for the praise that was made during that, but let's be mindful of the prayer requests of that too. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Anything at all? They just feel like it needs to be said or done. If not, then let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Let's be mindful of the Spirit of God, that God would move with us, that we won't sit down on Him and quench the Spirit this morning. Let's be mindful of prayer requests as made mention of, and especially those as made mention of in Sunday school this morning. But above all, let's be prayerful for those who are lost and separated from God. If nothing else needs to be done, said or done, let us go to the Lord in word of prayer at this time. Brother Jeff, do you mind leading our hearts in word of prayer this morning? I want to ask, before we go any further in the service this morning, if anybody has anything upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done.
And I won't have
to
worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest.
Yeah.
And my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. Someday when life is over and I've said my last goodbye, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. I'll hear Him say, "You're welcome. Woo! All your cares are
past." Sing it, brother.
And I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore.
certainly thankful for this. That's right. Amen. I'm certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning?
I've been here remembering a coworker. I used to work with him a long time ago. And he was telling me about the
Amen.
For all your troubles to be gone.
Yeah.
To feel his presence.
Amen. Amen. Anything else upon anybody's heart this morning?
I did want to give a little bit of an update from last Sunday. So Sunday after I got home, some things kind of transpired that I wasn't expecting. I met a man from Lahore, and I think that's where I'm going to end up going. I did a lot of reading this week and a lot of praying, and I know Pakistan is probably the fifth worst place I could ever go, and it does concern me quite a bit. But after talking to this gentleman, kind of see a need, and it has bothered me all week long.
Yeah.
Of things that I have no understanding of. They are about 98.6% Muslim. The Christian population that is there is enslaved. They are enslaved by the Muslim people that are landowners. And one story that I heard that really broke my heart was a family that they had borrowed money from the landowner because his two kids were sick. And it was too late and both of them died. They borrowed more money from them to bury them. And they're indebted pretty far. But I started reading about the Christians over there. And I cannot imagine being enslaved. And the freedom that we have here is incredible.
Try.
And again, I know Mom's still having quite an issue, but I want you all to pray for her too. I'm not exactly sure what the mission is, but I feel in my heart that God has a great plan. When I talked to this man, he told me a little bit about an open vision that he had. And I guess like us, he's hoping for a revival amongst these people. And he goes out to where they're making bricks and things like that. And a lot of them are making bricks. The kids are making the clay, and the parents are putting together the bricks to dry out. They work about 12 hours a day. So I really believe in my heart that this is the people that I'm going to go talk to and minister with. So that's all I know at this point. I've decided to do it at Christmas. there is some of that concept left amongst these people that are very brutally treated. I mean, I can't imagine living that way and having my children raped and murdered the way that they do. So I just felt like I wanted to tell everybody where I feel like I'm going, and pray that God would give me the words and the vision that I would know why I'm there. And so that's as much as I have right now, but I hope God really increases the burden that I have and that he accomplishes what he wants to accomplish. And, you know, I say, like, when I was in India, I don't know, there was so much happening that I didn't understand. But there was one woman in particular that I remember about my second sermon. She caught my eye, and to see her, the tears that were in her eyes, as broken as she was. And all I could say is when I left, she was smiling from ear to ear. I took probably 3 or 4 pictures with her, and you could see the change. And even though I couldn't communicate with her, you could see the change, and that was enough for me. That I've always said, if it's just one person, you know, it's worth it. So just keep getting back to whoever sent this paper. I'll take a look at this. Thank you.
Nothing else needs to be said or done this morning. We'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. If you got your Bible and you'd like to follow along, I'm going to start off with the 9th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And after we read there, if you want to go on and bookmark 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll go there immediately after we read Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, 9th chapter. I'm going to start off with the 23rd verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And now, if you would, I'm going to flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to start off with verse 1. It says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the appointed time. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And I would like to ask you all to pray for us this morning. The thought that God has placed upon our hearts that we would try to bring out with his help is glory to God and God alone. Glory to God and God alone. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to dig up some history and read over them. And the last couple of weeks, I've decided within my heart to go and study upon some of the things that I had to deal with the Reformation that happened in the 1500s. And I will say this. I do not agree with everything that happened in the Reformation, nor do I agree with a lot of the people that still affiliate themselves with the Protestant Reformation just for the fact they teach and hold on to the Calvinistic doctrine. I don't agree with that. But what I do like from my research and study of the Protestant Reformation, after Martin Luther had nailed his 95 Theses upon the Roman Catholic door there in Germany, what I do agree and what I do like is that it was founded upon, in the Latin term, a sola. Now, the term sola that they used there in on the time of the Protestant Reformation, one of them was Latin for soli deo gloria, which is Latin and translate to our English language, meaning glory to God alone. Now, I want to say this morning, folks. We have nothing. I want to repeat that. We have nothing that God has not given and blessed us with. Everything that we have, whether it be our homes, our families, our jobs, our car, the clothes on our back, the money that we have, all of that is not yours and it is not mine. But what it is that it is a gift that God has given us and has allotted to our time here on this earth. It's not mine or yours, but we're borrowing it for a few short amount of time. The knowledge that people have, especially doctors. Brother Scott said that something how he lost the doctors in Sunday schools, whatnot. Me, I'm a little different opinion. I've always could have cared less about doctors, just in all honesty. But I'll tell you what I will have to do. My hat is off to them for the years that they have spent studying in the medical field. But I want to tell you this. The knowledge that they might have upon the human body and the function, the knowledge is not theirs. That knowledge is God's. A lot of the wealth of knowledge that our preachers have about the Bible and the doctrines of it, that knowledge is not theirs. That knowledge and wisdom was given to them from God. So there's nothing in us that we can really glory in. Well, what does glory mean? In Webster's 18 and 28 dictionary, the word glory means praise ascribed in adoration, or at least some form and sort of honor. There's nothing really in us, and especially that's what Jeremiah was getting to. That no man glory in himself. There's nothing in ourselves that we can really praise and boast about. Oh, but I tell you this, there's a whole lot of things that I can glory and boast and praise about my God. Everything that He's given, everything that He has done, everything He's provided for me in my life, that is not of my own, but that is all of the will of God. Glory to God for that. Folks, I want to tell you this. I know sometimes we get our hearts and minds off the big picture, and Satan tends to try to get our hearts and minds off of what it is that God really needs us to look at. But I want you to know this, and I'm not trying to beat anybody down, but you know what? I am nothing. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branch, and without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing at all. All we are is just flesh and bones. You know, I used to tell people all the time, God created man from the dust of the earth. You know what that dust was? It's the dirt. I used to tell people all the time, all we are, if you really think about it, is just walking piles of dirt. That's all we are. And when God calls us home and the soul leaves the body, You know what happens to this walking pile of dirt? It goes back into the dirt from which God got it from. I'm not telling you that to make you feel bad about yourself, but I'm telling you that about this. There's nothing really in this life and in this world that we really should be adoring except over the might and the grace and the wondrous beauty and holiness of our God. You know, the thing that I agreed with the Protestant Reformation is that they thought the Catholic Church went too far from Scripture, and they thought the Catholic Church went too far from glory and decided to put it on the man's glory. Folks, glory is not for me and you, but it is for the praise of God. We don't come here to worship one another. We don't come here to beat down one another, but we come here for the purpose of trying to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because He's the one out of my whole life. He's the one that is worth me trying to boast, and is worth me trying to praise, and is worth me trying to adore. I came to this realization a few years ago. That realization is that without God, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you this. You know we talk about the Christian walk and how it's not supposed to be a bed of roses and rainbows and all this good and pleasure. It's not. Satan will have his attacks on us. The flesh will try to strive for the world and want to do what the flesh wants. Oh, but I tell you this, through my bad times and through my good times, my God has had His hand in it, guiding me, leading me, protecting me. And God, oh God, is so worth for us to bring the glory off of ourselves and put it back on to Him. That was the whole attitude and service and duty of the church when Christ left it. When He ascended into heaven, what was the commission He gave them? He said, "You go into all the lands, preaching and teaching whatsoever things that I have commanded you, baptizing and making disciples." Now, does that sound like something that we can do without the help of the Lord? Not one bit. Not one bit. Folks, I'm afraid down throughout the years, our human flesh has come into play, and we've took our eyes off of the person we're really supposed to be adoring. Oh, we've took our eyes and hearts off the person who we're really supposed to be praising and glorifying His name. We've took our eyes and our hearts and put them on the things of the world. But I tell you, we read of an account of Peter when Jesus had told Peter to walk on the water with Him. You know, we find that when Peter started walking, that storm came a brewing. And we find that when that storm came a brewing, Peter what? Took his eyes off of Jesus. And what happened? He started sinking. Jesus picked him up and He said, "Oh, ye of little faith, where did you doubt?" I've got this full belief in my heart this morning that we all can walk on water with the Lord if we just keep our hearts on Him. I'm not saying literally, but I'm meaning spiritually.
We can walk on the water with our Lord, and we can stay there as long as our hearts and our minds and our attention is fully fixed on Him and nothing else. Titus, Paul wrote to Titus, and he had told the young preacher there, he said, be careful that the child of God should be careful to maintain good works. Why? So that men don't see him in the works, but that through it all, they would look at the Christian and look at God. The whole purpose of the church is to show God, and show the praises of God, and show the wonders of God. Folks, I want to tell you this morning. I know if we all go digging in our closets right now, each and every single one of us have some skeletons in them, whether you want to accept it or not. But I want to tell you this, in our trials, in the times that we come to battle with those skeletons, oh, let me tell you, God will be there to get you out of it if you keep your attention on Him. And you know what? When we go through those valleys and we walk right out of that, you know what that makes? It makes a testimony for us to use for the purpose of going out and reaching the lost souls of the world. Every one of us, at some point, we're going to have health issues. We're going to be faced with a family turning their backs on us. We're going to be faced with temptations and trials. But I tell you this, I don't believe and agree in the term that people say, well, God's not going to put you through anything that you can't handle. But folks, I want to tell you this, the Bible does state that when you are going through a temptation, that God will make a way out of it. And what is that way? That is through and by Him and Him alone. That no man should glory in his wealth, in his knowledge, in his riches. But what did Jeremiah say that a man should glory in? In the fact that they know the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I came here this morning to try to praise God. I hope you didn't come here just for the fact it's business meeting time for church and we ought to pop our heads in and show up for business meeting. I really hope you didn't come here for that. I really hope you didn't come here just to check off going to church on your little checklist so that way you can just go through the motion. But I hope you came here for the sole purpose of trying to praise and lift up God and glorify Him and adore Him. I've heard people say, especially Christians, say, well, what has God done for me that I should glorify His name about? Folks, I want to tell you this. If you've been given this day, if you've been given your next breath of air, that's enough reason to praise God and God alone. We went to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul stated in that second verse that he said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I know we often use that verse for the welfare of the lost and say, hey, you might not have another opportunity. But folks, I really want us to look at this. Now is the accepted time. Not just for lost souls, but for you and I. Now is the accepted time. The accepted time for what, preacher? The accepted time for us to stop lollygagging and for us to start working for God. Now is the time. Jesus said somewhere in the four Gospels, he said, I believe it was the book of Mark, he said, you better work while it is day, because there is going to be a, because soon night's coming, and at night, no man can work. We've talked about time, lots of time in our Sunday school. Folks, I really, with the help of the Lord, I really want you to understand you and I are not promised the next 5 minutes of our life. We're not promised the next breath of air. We're not promised to walk out the doors. And if you do walk out the doors, you're not promised to make it home safely. In all honesty, I'm not telling you that to scare you, but I'm telling you that now while it is day and while God has given us the time, we need to work for God. We need to work. I know I say this a lot, but I tell you, up on our side, we call ourselves the Church at Friendship Missionary Baptist. It didn't say, the sign does not say, Friendship Not on the Log Baptist. It doesn't say, Friendship Hand in My Pocket Baptist. It doesn't say, Friendship I'll Work for the Lord When It's Convenient Baptist. But it said, Friendship Missionary Baptist. Folks, I don't mean to be preaching on names or nothing, but I want to tell you this. When we were given that great commission by Jesus Christ before he ascended into heaven, that great commission was not only to reach out to lost souls, but it was to disciple the newly believers. It was to help grow the church and to mature the church so that the church through all ages could be a healthy, visible, local body of baptized believers with the mind of working for God. Now I'll say this, it is hard to work for the Lord when you're not in right standing with Him. And I don't know about y'all, but people often use the excuse, well, I'm human, I am going to fail. Folks, I understand that. I do, I understand that. But stop using that as your excuse for not walking close to God and start getting rid of the sin that hinders you and get as close to Him as you can. Because there's going to come a night where no man can work. There's going to come a day where God will look down and He'll say, the work is done. What will you be found doing for the Lord? I don't know about you, but I want to be found working. I want to be found working in the vineyard that He's called me to. I want to be found working in the crops. I want to be found working for God. What about you? What's God going to find you doing? What's He going to find you doing? Is He going to find you making an excuse? We read how when there was a servant there in the book of Luke, he made a great supper, and he told his servant to go out and to invite many men to come. He invited 3 men, and the Bible says all with one consent began to make an excuse. There's an old song. I can't remember who wrote it, but that song says, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day, and the devil will provide them to help you stay away. Folks, an excuse just isn't going to be good enough. It's not. We're called to be workers for the Lord. You may say, well, now, preacher, He didn't call us to go to Africa, Pakistan, or all this. Or you can have mission work and not go overseas. You can call mission work and not go out of states. Because our mission work at this, at our mission work here at Friendship is right at the very doorsteps of that door right there. That is our mission work. That is our job. That's our vineyard. That's our field. That's our crops that we're called to go out and work. Jesus said one time, he said, look, the harvest is white and it's ready, but the laborers are few. He said, pray you therefore that there be laborers in the field. And you know what? If you want to pray to the Lord for there to be laborers, that's good. I believe that's good and that's biblical. But you also, when you pray for laborers, need to be willing for God to call you to be a laborer in that field as well. We need to be willing vessels for the use of God. I know the last several months, God has sort of put it on my heart to talk about the future of Friendship Church. Folks, I want to tell you this right now. I do not care how great a number the people in the congregation is. I know we all would love it if there was thousands of people to come in one day to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that just be amazing? I know we all would love that. But folks, I'm not concerned about the number of individuals. I'm concerned about the presence of God. Just because, just because we have numerous individuals and numerous young members and numerous elder members here being joined in the church, there's a difference between being a member that just shows up and being an active member. Folks, I tell you, there needs to be activeness in the hearts of the members of the body of Christ. And if the church isn't active, if the young people aren't active, if the old people aren't active, if the middle-aged aren't active, then folks, I tell you, just as quick as God gave Columbus the blessing of Friendship Church, he can quickly take her away. I didn't know I was going to say all that. That's okay. I'll just follow the Lord. Glory is not for you and me to gain. It's for God and Him alone. We read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26 that Paul was writing, and he said, well, let's go back to verse 25. He said, if you live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous. Or another word, covet. Let us not covet vain glory. What's vain glory? In Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's exclusive vanity. Excited by one's own performances, by their own deed, their own duty, their obligation. And Webster also uses the term an undue elation of mind. What is that? Undue elation of mind means you're an airhead. Your head got big and it got swallowed up in that pride, and you just think, and you're just on your high horse thinking you're better than everybody else and thinking that you can't be knocked off of it. You're an airhead. That's what vainglory will get you. And what does the Bible say about pride? Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Don't be boastful. Don't be prideful. We have nothing to be proud about. But I tell you what I do have that I can be proud about. And that's the fact I am saved by the grace of God. And I don't need to boast that about Micah Barber. Micah Barber did absolutely nothing to deserve what God has done for him. But I tell you this, my boasting comes from the Lord. And it is directed to the Lord. Because what he did at the cross of Calvary is the reason why I'm able to stand and proclaim that I'm standing on the promises of God. First Thessalonians, Paul was getting ready to depart from the church at the end of that first letter. I like to say that while he was departing that first time, he decided to, with the Lord's leadership, give them a few pointers on how things need to be, how it should be run. One of those things that he pointed out in 1 Thessalonians was that you quench not the Spirit. Quench, extinguish, get rid of. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Work, church, I mean this. Work for God. You say, well, thou preacher, according to my account, don't seem like there's any lost among us. So what? So what? We've come here for the purpose of the honor and glorifying of God. Whether there be lost among us or not. As a matter of fact, we don't know anybody's hearts. Praise and lift up Jesus Christ as high as you have ever held him, so that when we walk out back into our mission field, we can walk out of here with a glow upon our face because we've been near the presence of God. Whether you believe it nor not, friends, we've got a lot to give glory to God for, to give our adoration to God for. I'll say this and I'll be done. But Luke 2 states that upon the birth of Christ. And it says in the verse 10, it says, the angel said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The same things that the angel sung. It's the same thing we need to be singing. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. By him, you and I, when we pray, we're able to sit down and weep and cry, Abba, Father. And we're able to have a personal, intimate relationship with God, the one who created the heaven and the earth, the one who gave us his only begotten son, we're able to have a close communion and intimate relationship with him. Glory to God for that. Let there be glory to God in our service. I know that wasn't much. I do hope and pray somebody got something out of that. I don't want to sound like I was trying to beat anybody up, but I'm telling you this, folks. Glory to God and God alone. And let it lay there. Sister Rachel, if you want to get us a song and sing, let us sing this morning.